Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Brett and Alex in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news. Would you rather find out humanity was the worst or the best? And, as always, Patreon presents Fan Q&A. The date is January 20th, 2023. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 14th ever episode of the Super Beard Show. I'm Alex. That's Brett over there. Ted's Hello. Over there clicking on shit. How you doing?
I feel weird, man.
Yeah?
I had acid reflux 2 nights ago.
Oh.
It seemed like a mild case. I think it was a mild case.
Always a bummer.
More like bitch reflux.
Got him. Ted's feeling chaotic.
I'm sorry.
What was that about?
I'm so sorry.
Ted was, I think he jumped on my energy.
I'm immediately sorry.
I think he jumped on my
energy. You don't have to be sorry. I don't even think he did anything wrong. I just want to know, like, why? Why?
I'm in a place.
He's in a place.
I'm in a place.
Today's episode is called The Search for More Money by Kevin Van D. Thank you for that great title.
Patreon. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
/Superbeard Bros. What did you eat?
No, we're not doing that. I want to know why Ted said what he said.
More like bitch reflux.
A lot of people would let that go, be like, I'm in a place, right? That doesn't mean anything. I really want to know why.
I was emulating the just aggressive.
Yeah, hype.
Verbal bullies? Bullying thing?
I'm sorry, did you think Alex was verbally bullying someone?
No. I was just emulating a kid that's just like trying to pull insults out of anything.
Right. I got that sense that you were being like the unimaginative and yet extremely hostile.
Yes, adolescent yes. Person.
So my question remains, why'd you do that? Like, I knew who you were doing an impression of.
My question
is,
no one ever thought that. No one ever thought that you were coming out swinging at Brett for reflux.
Absolutely not. Ted, I know that's not you. I want to know why you put on the mask.
I don't.
It's the purge.
I don't know.
Okay. Something to think about for you for the rest of this episode.
It's the purge today, guys.
I can't wait to read that essay at the end. Welcome to it, man. Thank you once again, Kevin, for the title. Thanks for the reference. Made me feel old as soon as I heard it.
Dude, so that's the sequel to Spaceballs?
Yeah, I think that was the gag.
That's the premise?
The search for more money? Merch and the moich. It's not merch.
The moich.
Moich, yeah.
What does he say when he pulls the little...
Hey, the Schwartz be with you.
He says, my favorite.
I think my favorite gag in that film, the entire one, is just the framing of the scene, the lack of dramatic music, the fact that you can hear like the footsteps in this little room between Darth Helmet and Lone Star when he's like, put her there. And fucking Lone Star reaches out, shakes his hand, and he like takes his ring off and he's like, I can't believe
it. Oh my God. I got you.
I can't believe you fell for it. Yeah. Here, man, I'm sorry. You can have it back. You fell for it again. Like, it's filmed like a stage show. Like there's no.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's and mundane.
It's, and it's Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Who is one of the all-time greats.
Rarely ever clowns on somebody on screen.
Oh.
But he did. Yeah. Shout out to Spaceballs. Shout out to Kevin Van D.
Should we go ahead and take off our old man nostalgicizing sweatpants real quick and get to the show?
Yeah, let me just take off my Rogue One jumper real quick.
I know, right?
Let's just jump into it. How are you? What did you eat?
I forget what I ate that day, but I don't remember. I know I had some of Lisa's homemade cheesecake.
That was it like fun. The overnight kind? Like where you like, where you like wake up?
Yes.
I hate that shit.
And I've had worse cases. The what's making me weird is that like this was 2 nights ago and I've still got like scratchy throat.
I hate that. Yeah, no, I've been there. Like real talk. I've been exactly there. I hate it.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with my sleep apnea.
I guarantee almost every single physical problem that you and I experience is because we're severely overweight.
We're like big dudes. Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, shout outs to the chat. Let us know. Do you get GERD? Like, are you like a little thin person, but you get hella GERD?
What is GERD?
gastro.
Make it up.
Endocrine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Reflux disease. Gastroenterological.
Gastrointestinal, I'm guessing.
But it's GERD with an E.
Oh, it is. I thought it was GI. Okay.
Yeah, no. GI is something else. Oh. GERD is just the thing where you barf in your throat.
Yeah, that happens to me once.
Every
couple months. And I, like, and there's a pattern. Like, it's not like a
diet based.
No, it is. It's not. Well, I don't know if it's diet based, but my point is, it's not random. Mm. If I eat too much before bedtime, close to bedtime,
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, and it's usually just has to do with gas.
Yeah,
because the gas builds up. I'm asleep. It's got nowhere to go, and they're like, better fucking throw up.
I psych myself out sometimes. Like, it happens to me, like, say, on a Monday. It doesn't happen that much to me. But let's say it happens to me on a Monday. Two nights later, I'm like, these donuts sure look good, and it's 2 a.m.
So you don't learn your lesson.
I'll eat the donuts, and then I'll be like, I can't sleep. I can't go to bed.
If I don't
sit up straight and drink a bunch of water and stay up,
yep,
I'm going to get that GERD again. I just know it.
Yep,
and I'll stay up to, like, 5 a.m. to, like,
mm-hmm.
make sure.
I would rather take the acid reflux than to have no sleep.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I just psych myself out. It's weird thinking about your body, your own body. It's some of the wildest shit in the world. But
nice transition.
Let's jump into, speaking of the wildest shit in the world, let's jump into the news. I realized after editing the last episode that it's kind of like a longer sting than I think.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, not my part. My part's perfect. But the music that plays, I kind of give it a little.
I didn't know there was music.
Oh, yeah. It's like.
That sounds like when there's a new challenger in X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Pretty much. I mean, here's the thing. The song for the Beard Bros show, like the song that we currently use on the channel, that song fucks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's Sexual Life?
Yeah. Shout outs Nock Bient for that one.
Who?
Nock Bient.
Who's that?
He wrote the song.
Nice job, dude.
The song.
Nice job.
Yeah. Perfectly hit my brief. Anyway, the news that I have for today is simply this.
Okay.
We talk a lot about Marvel, which is something that, like, I don't really, like, get that passionate about. Like, I like to have my little theories because I love the X-Men a lot. But, like, in general, I don't really care what happens in, like, the Marvel cinematic universe that much. I'm not, like, excited about what's going on with the Avengers right now, really. However, I love DC more than I love Marvel. I'm like a very big DC guy. Mm. And James Gunn, I don't love. Like, some people love James Gunn. But the idea that he's taking over as the, like, creative head of DC Studios and, like, making plays right now, it's getting me excited. Because the dude, I know for a fact the dude loves comic books and has been reading them for years and stuff like that. And recently, there's been three things that I wanted to get your temperature on. As, like, things that are, like, related to what his plans are, which he has not announced any of his plans. He may announce them today or anytime this week. So maybe by the time this episode goes live, you guys will already know.
Mm-hmm.
But the big things this week are, number one, he tweeted a picture of himself reading All-Star Superman with some coffee.
Okay.
And he said something like, nothing better than coffee and comics, or something just totally innocuous. Everybody obviously like, oh my God, All-Star Superman, you're so good. Like, that's such a good thing. Have you read that before? All that stuff. And he's like, yeah, I've read it a lot of times, actually. Mm. And then the thing that got me kind of like eyeball emoji about it is that Grant Morrison themselves quote tweeted it. And Grant Morrison never tweets other than to promote the Xanadoom, like, Substack that they do now. Like, they don't do that much comic book writing at the moment, and they're just kind of like writing this column of, like, philosophy and old art and stuff like that. And I think they put out, like, a book this year, Luda. But Grant Morrison's Twitter account was like, really good choice of reading, bro, or like something like that. So I think there may be an All-Star Superman movie in the works.
Sure.
Which is interesting because he was talking about doing a different aged Superman than Henry Cavill, which was his explanation for why he doesn't want to move forward with Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, is he going to pick someone old?
Mm.
And second of all, he's been doing a press tour this week, James Gunn, for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which mm-hmm. is finally mm-hmm. like starting to come out. It's got Adam Warlock. They revealed Adam Warlock this week. He looks great. He looks just like Adam Warlock. Looks pretty cool. But they were asking him, like, now that you're going to go to DC, like, what about all these actors that you've been working with? And we know you like to work with a lot of the same actors from time to time. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'll definitely probably work with each one of the actors from Guardians of the Galaxy individually over at DC again, if I have my way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big two things that were floating around on the internet yesterday was like a wave of horror at the idea that Chris Pratt is going to like continue to be in comic book movies because nobody likes Chris Pratt. Mm. Whoever his like PR agent is, he's not doing well with like, he's not doing well with like the Twitter crowd.
Oh boy.
But everybody's like, let's make Chris Pratt booster gold. I think that's a great place for him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the other thing is, what's your boy's name from WWE or whatever?
Bautista.
Yeah. Bautista. He's like born again as an actor, right? He's like loving acting and like taking some like pretty decent roles and stuff and like kind of upping his game, taking improv classes. You can tell.
Yeah, you can tell he's taking improv classes.
I mean, dude, like watch Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and then watch like the like weird Kevin Bacon, like crappy Christmas special thing that they did recently. And he's like 10 times more comfortable. You can tell he's like doing lineoramas and bidding, you know, whatever. Point is, they want him to play Bane.
Who's they?
The internet. Like these things were trending yesterday, trending topics.
I see.
So I want to get your thoughts on James Gunn at DC. What do you think about All-Star Superman, Booster Gold, Bane, the idea of him using actors that he's already used? I know you don't really care about this stuff that much, mm-hmm. but you have so much knowledge that it's nice to talk to somebody else who knows all these characters enough.
I really want to like get passionate with you. I just don't have it. Like all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Who would you cast to be Superman?
Oh, God.
If you had to,
like, who would I cast to be Jesus Christ?
It kind of is. Yeah. It kind of is.
I don't know.
Like, if you had to refresh it, you know what I mean? If you had to go, like, a fresh direction.
I don't think I know that many young actors anymore.
You'd go young.
Well, you know, I wouldn't go middle-aged or anything, right?
Well, I don't know. Like, okay, like, for example.
I think the more interesting conversation, it depends on the story being told.
Sure.
It depends on the story being told.
Yeah.
But if I were in charge, if I were in charge of like building, I assume what they want to do is build some sort of cinematic universe.
100%.
Something that they can invest in and reap rewards and benefits over time with a stable cast and world. Yeah, you probably want to go a little bit younger so that the guy doesn't age up, you know?
I vibe with that. Would you grab one of the current people that plays Superman?
No.
For no reason?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Personally.
Yeah.
Like if I had Carte Blanche, mm-hmm. right?
Benoit Blanc, yeah.
If I had Benoit Blanc, I'd have an onion. you know me, dude. Like I'd throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like I would be like, I'm starting. Give me a fresh piece of paper.
Yeah.
Give me, cause you know, I'm a foundations guy, or like if you told me like, hey man, you gotta like, you are now in charge of the whole DC cinematic stuff. I'd be like, word. They'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, can I start fresh? They'd be like, yeah. I'm like, that's what we're doing.
You'd throw it all out. 100%. It didn't even happen.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like I smell a crisis.
I smell a crisis coming.
But like real talk, like DC, like the main thing that I would say editorially differentiates them from Marvel is that they always try to like spin their, and then Marvel does it too, but DC, I think one thing that's very common across a lot of their events is that they often try to editorialize in the world. They often try to like make a continuity change or whatever that's like even across the line, like something that happens both inside the universe and outside the universe. Like they were like, hey, all these different Earths with like these old Justice Society guys in the Justice League, it's getting sort of weird. How is the young Wonder Woman on the Teen Titans and the regular Wonder Woman is like in the same world, not on the Team Titans. So let's just have a thing happen where all the alternate universes like collapse into one Earth. That's the crisis on Infinite Earths. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever. Like, oh, hey, like Yobard Thawne went back in time and killed the Flash's mom or whatever. Or saved the Flash's... The Flash went back to save his own mom from the Reverse Flash. And that made Flashpoint. And that changed the world. And when that flipped back to normal, that's when you got the New 52. Right. It's like, there's like a in-universe thing that explains why they have to change everything. And you know, like in the Infinite or in Crisis on Infinite Earths, they had like the old Superman come back, like the one from Action Comics number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And meet the new Superman, and you got two Supermen. Yeah. I could see them doing that because I feel like the audience needs like therapy.
Oh my God.
I feel like the audience needs like therapy to like handle a big change.
If you say so, yeah.
I feel like there's so much, like, I don't know why, like, in the popular view, or at least in my scene, like there's something like some kind of line drawn around like a type of person who loves certain things and like goes online and like fights for certain opinions.
Ooh, gross.
But it's kind of a thing. It's kind of a real thing. Like there's certain talking points in popular culture that are like dog whistles to the right sometimes. Mm. And I'm not saying everybody who has a certain opinion about, say, Jack Snyder's Justice League.
I love Jack Snyder.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying everybody who has a favorable opinion of Zack Snyder, I almost said Jack again, of Zack Snyder, like, is a right-wing fanatic.
But they are.
No, it's just that, like, there is a connection between the army of people online who are, like, extremely toxic about DC Universe and people who are extremely toxic on the internet in general. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of people who are like in favor of James Gunn who are being the same level of toxic in a way where people are like, man, the pro James Gunn like coalition is like very morally wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Something interesting about that. But I think that in a world like that, I smell a crisis coming. And I agree. I think like there should be a younger Superman, but I don't know. I feel like it's going to be hard for them to like do anything without visually explaining to people how they're going to hand it off and like letting everybody get like a round of applause in the audience and stuff. Like that stuff's really important to people right now from a, like, I don't know. It's funny. Like movies have become comics. The things that people,
those movies have become comics.
Like the things like what? Well, yeah. So that's kind of what I mean. Like they start out with like, oh, the grand experiment of four movies that may connect one day. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, they have people who are as angry as comic book fans have been for
as
40
invested.
Years. Yeah. Like that deep lore and that war between people who are just getting into it and people who have watched it all.
Yeah. I'm too old to even think about fanboyism nowadays.
Yeah. Chris Pratt is Booster Gold.
Oh, I, whatever.
Solid though. Like, sure. I see it.
Sure. I see it too.
Yeah. Dave Bautista.
As long as the story's good, I'll see it.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. You know what I mean?
Do you think that Bane needs to be like a certain race
in order
to be effective?
Obviously not.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've seen an effective Bane on the screen. Well, I guess we did in Dark
I don't know Night what Rises. Effective is. Like, because a lot of people were satisfied with, like, let me put it this way. A lot of people were satisfied with Hardy's Bane, right?
I loved Hardy's Bane.
But here's the thing. A lot of people were satisfied with and like obviously a lot of people were dissatisfied.
I think
the point is that, like, to be like, no one liked that being like, yeah, they did, kids did, like, I don't know what effective is, but motherfucker, that movie came out and made a lot of money.
I think that I love Tom Hardy's Bane. I didn't care much for the, like, whatever, what is that, Schumacher?
Yep.
Bane.
Yep.
But like, for example, like, I don't think either of them, I also don't think either of them has completely accurately represented the character that I like, the things I like about Bane.
Fair enough.
From the comic.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think his, because the thing that was going on with Dave Bautista is Greek and Filipino.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And people are like, no, it has to be like a Latin
Yeah, people. Yeah, I don't want to get into it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you? But I guess what I'm asking is, do you feel like his cultural identity is like core to the comic book character? Is he from a real place? No, right?
Santa Prisca.
Santa Prisca is not real.
No, it's not.
Like a brutal place where they like torture the people who live there.
This is a hot button issue. I kind of don't want to get into it. Mm. But me personally, I think Bane's ethnicity is not even top three of what I think is most interesting or critical to his characterization.
Yeah.
If I got a Latino Bane, I'd be like sick.
But I have no problem with that. Yeah.
Like there are things that I think are more important to me personally.
Yeah. We were talking about the other day. I don't remember if we were talking about it on mic or not, but our buddy at our comic shop talking about how somebody didn't want, I don't know how secret that is. So I don't want to like blow up the like back behind the scenes thing that I was talking about, but a director of a movie was saying that somebody wanted to like to specifically make Colossus not Russian because they thought that was weird.
A Russian guy?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. They just thought that was like a, let him be like a fucking Russian guy. It was like not chill with other people in the production of the film.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, Colossus in a lot of movies. So maybe you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but I think that with Colossus, his Russianness is a lot more central to the things that happened to Colossus in the comics than Bane, who's not actually from a real place. Like, I feel like as long as the place that Bane is from in the comics is similar to the place that he's from in the movie, and he has that similar sort of...
It sounds like you're trying to make a comparison between Colossus and Bane in terms of whose ethnicity is more essential to their characterization.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And I feel like Colossus is much more essential. I still don't think it's essential. I don't know if I'd say it's in the top three even for Colossus.
Yeah,
but I think there's a chance that his Russianness does make it into the top three.
Maybe. For me, probably not, but like more so than Bane, possibly. I think it's not so much to me. Whatever. It's not important. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. I would like to see him play it. I think he's one of the only like huge buff guys that's got chops even close to good enough to play somebody like Bane.
He's got chest chops, Ric Flair style.
But I mean, he's a big guy.
That seems like a true thing.
And it's rare that you get a big guy like that who's an actor. That's all.
Mm, yeah. Mm. I mean, all those dudes are actors, you know, those wrestlers and stuff.
I think Batista thinks about it all the time. Mm. Like he wants, like, I feel like he's done with the wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I don't think he's eager to like restart his in-ring career. Yeah. Yeah.
He's bigger than that now, right? Like he's beyond that.
He's always been a big guy.
I want to see that Shyamalan.
Yeah, I did too until the trailer just told me the whole movie.
Is there more to the trailer?
I don't know, but I saw the trailer. I'm like, well, guess I know how this happens.
Oh, I just saw a trailer where Batista comes to the door and he's like, hello, I need to kill you. Or something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
I don't know. What
I guess I wish I would have just seen that trailer.
Hello, I am told that I must kill you.
Dave Batista, are you in the room with us right now?
I was in Blade Runner 2099.
That's true. You were, man.
Yeah.
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 You want to get some nachos?
No. I'll hang out with you. But
can we watch me eat them?
I was in Dune too.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I was.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was in Dune.
You know what? I saw you in the man with, what was it? The man with the iron fists? Is that what it was?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what it was called?
RZA.
The RZA? Yeah.
He's turning into Rolf.
He's really turning into Rolf.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Dave Batista unzips himself. Rolf the dog.
No. What are you talking about? I was in The Dog with the Iron Fist. Is that a different movie?
Dog with the Iron Dish.
Dog with the Iron Piano. That's my thing. I play piano. I have human hands. I mean, I don't have human hands. I mean, Jim Henson's dead. I mean, oh, no.
You're so good at that.
I don't even think I am. I think I just kind of commit to it. And it, like, I don't know. I don't get the same love for my T'Challa impression.
And they're equally good. So it's weird, man.
That's the thing. They're
equally good.
Here's the thing. I always say I do an impression and not a and not a perfect mimic.
So, I feel like your T'Challa is always on the verge of death.
I'm not even gonna reply to that question. To that statement. That's all I got for the news. How are you?
I'm a weird man. I had acid reflux.
Oh yeah. What's up?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
It was bad.
Oh man.
Yeah. There it is.
Dang. Again.
There it is. There he is again.
More like bitch reflux.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm immediately sorry.
What did he say?
Why did you do that, Alex? Why?
He said, I went to a place. Fred fell in and drowned himself. All right. All right. Let's move to the next thing. What do you got for me, Brett?
You want to? Okay, let's talk about it. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, what I wanted to talk about today, I wanted to ask a question.
Okay.
What if you?
Why did Ted do that?
Why did he do that? Ted, what the fuck? My question is, if somebody came to you, like some being or alien.
Okay. Whew, okay.
Right. And he was like, can I watch you eat nachos? No.
Yeah. Pull up a chair. Of course. Of course, you freak.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
What if I said you have to pay me?
You fly, you buy, I'll eat them.
You kill it, we grill them. I can't do this impression because literally my throat from the acid reflux, it's fucking me.
Bodying you. It's all tied together. It's like a nice...
Maybe my doctor teeth would be better now, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Ugh. Which is almost animalish.
Hey, I'm animal sober half.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Okay. No, real talk. The question I had was, if some being came to you and was like, is about to drop the knowledge on you and tell you that like Earth... it has a particular place among all the sentient races in the galaxy or universe, right? Mm-hmm. It has a ranking in terms of its technological advancement.
Okay. Like they are watching us all and they happen to know where we rate.
Right. Okay. Or maybe it's not a being who knows. Maybe there's just like, you're going to like open Marcellus Wallace's briefcase
and inside is fucking this knowledge. Acid and like,
you're about to find out.
Yeah.
You're about to find out that knowledge, where Earth is placed compared to every other sentient race and world in the galaxy, universe, whatever.
Sure.
Would you rather hear the news that we humans are the most advanced technological race or the least advanced technological race?
Least.
That was fast. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Ted?
What answer would I want to hear?
Yes. Would you hope to hear?
Which one would you rather hear?
Yeah.
Least.
Both of you answered least.
I'm like, so sure too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Ted, are you sure?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. We'll start with you then, Alex. How come?
My thought is, I'm looking around, I'm reading the news, I'm on Twitter, I'm plugged in, you know what I mean?
Like, oh boy.
I read about everything that's going on in the world.
Everything.
I do. I read like the news for like 4 hours a day, right?
Alex.
Oh yeah. Shit.
That seems excessive.
That's a lot.
Well, you know what? Maybe next time they shouldn't have a fucking pandemic.
Maybe there shouldn't be so much news.
Yeah. Maybe they should just put out one or two news stories. No.
They should collate the news for us and make sure that it's digestible and what we want
to
see.
Don't tell me stuff I don't need to hear about.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You no, never cease to impress me.
I'm just addicted to it, and it's not something I'd like to be doing, but okay. I am reading a lot of news.
I'm glad you're aware of the unhealthy amount of news that
I wish that I didn't do it, but I do. And if this is the best that anyone can do, I'm out.
What does that mean? You're out.
I'm walking in the ocean like Ophelia. Like, are you kidding?
What a reference.
Like, my hope is just dashed in life.
Explain to the audience out there in case they don't understand what you mean. Like, why is your hope dashed?
The world is falling apart.
I thought you were going into Billy Corgan there. The world is falling apart.
The world is under the thumb of late stage capitalism.
Basically, we had all the tools. We had all the scientists. We had years and years where there was no barriers to like creating an amazing world where we could just get up and go and leave the planet maybe, or go to space, or, you know, there was a time when I thought about the future and I thought the possibilities are endless.
Sure.
And even though the day I was born, we were probably already like, what, 4 minutes to midnight?
Come on, dude, don't do that.
I'm just saying, like, the day I was born, we were probably already so fucked, right? And stuff. But the idea that everybody else did better and like probably most likely outcome for technologically advanced planets,
right,
is that we're going to do something better than what Earth is doing eventually.
That's what you're saying. You're saying, even if we're the worst, even if we're the least technologically advanced, to know that it is possible to go beyond what we are, and not only possible, but like it's probable for any sentient race to be more technologically advanced than us. You're saying that gives you hope.
Like, okay. Like,
am I wrong?
No, you are correct. Okay. But like, for example, like just to give you like a real world example of how this already is a thing for me.
Okay.
I'm American. And as an American person who like reads the news every day.
4 hours.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even joking. Like probably like genuinely like between the things that I watch on like the internet and the articles that I read on my Apple News subscription, which maybe I should cancel. Like real talk, America is like horrible.
Okay.
Like we're not doing good at a lot of stuff. Like our education is bad. Our economy is like really imbalanced. Like people are, there's like very few rich people and like tons of poor people.
Okay.
And you know, it's weighted incorrectly. Like who has the influence? And our politics are fucked up. And I don't think people understand, honestly, how big America is when they judge America and like the fact that we can't get our shit together.
A lot of landmass, a lot of people.
Yeah. But like, somehow I get up every morning and I like feel pride for my country and I feel pride for my people.
I didn't know you feel pride in your country.
I'm patriotic. You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't know that.
I believe in the true, like the like schmaltzy ideas at the core of America. You know what I mean? I look at like, I'm from LA. There's a lot of culture in my city compared to a lot of other places in the country. I see that and it makes me, and I've been around the world. I've been out of the country, seen how other people do it. And the fact that there are countries that aren't America, even Canada, you know, even countries that are just so similar culturally to us, right? Like the fact that they are happier and that things are going well. The fact that there was like,
okay,
even though she just resigned, like the fact that like in the pandemic, New Zealand like figured it out, you know, stuff like that. Like at least for a while, they figured it out. Like that makes me feel like it's possible like to improve. Like it makes me feel like it's possible.
The example demonstrates that these things are possible.
When a good thing happens in American politics, at least according to my politics, it makes me feel like maybe things could, maybe things are eventually going to get much better, you know, like it rather than like a drop in a bucket that's never making a change.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Let's talk about the antithesis though. What if we were the most technologically advanced and you learned that? What are the, like the implications of us being the lowest give you in the implications that give you hope? The implications of us being the most technologically advanced, what does that make? How would that make you feel?
It's like, oh, aliens aren't real.
No, they're real.
I mean, maybe they're real, but not the ones we've been looking at. You know what I mean?
Not the ones we've been looking for.
Not the ones we've been thinking we've been looking at. Yeah. Like there's no Roswell. There's no flying saucers. Like ghosts probably aren't real. Like
all wait. I'm sorry.
Ghostbusters aren't real.
You lost me.
I'm just saying like, it just makes me feel like there's no possibilities. Like it just makes me feel like we're never going to find any of that stuff out. There's no reason to think about it. Like something so crazy as ghosts or spirits or telepathy or something like that, where you're like, wow, like maybe this could happen someday. If I get the message, truthful message from the like, Aleph at the center of all knowledge,
right?
That, like the best anybody's ever done is where we're at right now.
Right.
No, where no one's ever figuring out any of that shit. We're never
going to. So not only like are the hard implications there for you, like, damn, I guess there really is no intelligent life because this person basically just told me. You're going even further and be like, well, man, if that stuff doesn't exist, then by pure numbers, this doesn't probably exist as well.
Or it might as well not, because we're never going to get an answer. I don't feel if this is the best we can do right now, we might as well give up. We might as well just start living like it's a zombie movie. I should just start like treating my neighbors like they're going to kill me. You know what I mean?
Really?
I should just become,
wow. Ted, do you feel a different way?
I should just become cynical, violent, wretched, self-centered. I should.
I wonder how many people already feel that way.
So many. You can say, okay.
Interesting.
If you look at politics.
Ted, hold on. Just please hold that thought, Alex. Ted, you have like, it sounds like you have some differing opinions, maybe a little bit.
I do. And I'm surprised.
Please hold on to that. Okay. We're going to come back. I just don't want you to forget.
Okay.
All right. Please continue, Alex. What were you saying?
How do I describe this? Okay. No magic, no hope, you know?
Yo, metal.
I'm just saying like there's studies. Like
you, if you put a roar on that, that'd be some black metal shit.
But like real talk, like, okay, already you look at political leanings in America specifically. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of look at the Western world and kind of understand. Like, I mean, I don't have the cultural knowledge to like speak on like what it's like to be Italian or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. But politics, you can kind of look at the news and you can see like the conservative party, they even look the same, the candidates sometimes. I don't know if you've ever seen Geert Wilders. He like looks like Trump. You know, it's like the same movement. And I think that you can just look across the board and see that obviously one of the big things that separates the generic, loud, unmuted voice of the conservatives and the loud, unmuted voice of the progressives is that the conservatives seem to be a lot less empathetic towards a lot of people.
Go on.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's simply it. You can see how one life philosophy maybe is rooted in a lack of empathy. Because you were talking about empathy.
I guess so.
You were talking about how many people are already like this. How many people are already feel like they shouldn't trust anyone, that they're like in survival mode, right?
Yeah, but I was thinking about it specifically because maybe they already had leanings towards the belief that we are truly alone, whether in actuality or in practicality. I'm wondering like how many, like I know for like, I like, yeah, I see these people all the time who are callow and selfish and hard hearted in everyday life. And I was just wondering how much of that attitude that they have is, whether consciously or unconsciously, influenced by their belief that there is no quote unquote hope out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the idea that nothing good will ever happen,
you think influences a lot of their behavior.
I think there's a link between that notion and the idea of like being a fucking Grinch. Yeah. Being like a wretch in your house. Yeah.
You made yourself pretty clear.
There's a cynicism out there already that I hate. Yeah, there's a cynicism out there that I hate, that I think is invading like all aspects of rational thought. And I think it is the banner flag of the hopeless, the cynical, hopeless people. That's what I think it is. I think that ineloquent, abrasive.
It's an interesting pair of adjectives. Yeah.
That ineloquent. Because
I think there's a difference between the two.
I think
can go hand in hand.
There is. I think the
difference is an important one.
My assertion is that they are much more related than I think it seems like they are. That's my feeling. That's why I have the beliefs that I have. It's because I am starting to think that way. Did you know that over double the amount of Republicans died of COVID?
I think I've read a headline, something like that. Yeah.
Think about that.
I have.
Yeah. I meant like everyone. Think about that.
Write that down.
I just mean, like, what would you... It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Ted, you answered pretty quickly that you would hope that humanity is the lowest on the spectrum of technological advancement in the universe.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. How come?
I would hope that because at our current juncture, we have not gotten contact
with aliens.
With aliens.
Okay.
But if we're the lowest,
yeah,
I believe there would be a higher chance of us receiving contact.
So let me get this straight. The reason it sounds like the primary reason you have the hope that you do is because you're really trying to hang out with some aliens.
Yeah.
Really?
Like expand our knowledge.
You want to join the greater the civilization universe. Of the galaxy.
Galactic collective.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Why do you want that?
Because it would be amazing and awesome and open a whole new can of worms. We could.
Yeah. Please open that can right now. Like what? Let's say that happened, right?
Yeah.
Let's say they came down and were like, all right, y'all, you're part of the frat now. What?
They're just like,
what are you hoping would be a result of that? Like a practical, how would it like, what effect on your life would you hope that would have?
New horizons. Like it's almost like exploring new realms of consciousness.
Like literal horizons. Like, well, not literal horizons, but like,
I think so.
Are you saying you'd be excited to like get your buns out there and explore the universe? Like physically explore it?
Not physically. No.
So, okay. Then if not physically, then how?
Knowledge, like
give me an example of some kind of knowledge that you like would be looking like hope to get.
Okay. Because I have a
like,
thought, but you can come back to me. But
okay.
Yeah, I want to remember this.
They're like, oh, what up, homies? You don't have time travel yet? We got you. Here it is. Here's the code.
That would be scary as hell. Okay, give me another one. I'm curious.
That specifically would be very scary. But yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, you guys are dying of old age. We got you.
Got it. Got it.
Yo, scientists just found a thing actually with mice. No joke. Where they like got the mice to like turn young again.
I heard about that a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway.
The mice are going
to
take over.
I didn't mean to sidebar that.
Baby-faced mice take over.
Yeah, like I could, we could see new perspectives and just new ways of life that we probably never considered.
Sure.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Something that I want to bring up as a possible pro to us being the highest, the most advanced civilization is the darker, more concerning possible explanations of the Fermi paradox that we talked about previously.
Like the Borg and shit?
Yeah, or any sort of like sufficiently technologically advanced race would, according to many, if they encountered us, most likely be hostile.
Just murder us. Yeah.
Or enslave us.
Sure. Something like that, right? Be extremely hostile. So if we're like, you know, if we're killing it at the top of the list, ain't no risk of that. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's possible, pro.
That's true. I'm with you. Yeah. I feel that. I vibe with that.
With that in mind, you guys still stalwart. You would rather be the lowest in the list?
I guess.
Yeah.
But I do have more than I want to say about it.
Okay.
I hope that's the case, but I firmly believe it's the opposite.
You think that we're the lowest?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Alex. Hold on. Wait a second. Hold on. You hope that we're the lowest. Are you saying you believe we're the highest?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ted.
Whoa. Yeah.
Ted, how does that make you feel?
Kind of disappointed.
Fair enough. You've explained why, because you've already explained why you would want us to be the lowest.
Yeah.
I guess my last question for you then is like, why do you have that belief that we're the most advanced in the, what do you think? In the galaxy, in the universe? What?
In the universe.
Holy shit, Ted, the universe is a big place. And you believe,
I know it's, I'm like statistically super duper wrong.
So why do you have that belief?
I think for all intents and purposes,
yeah,
even if there were more advanced, like
aliens,
beings,
sure.
The vastness of space basically makes it irrelevant.
Okay. So please correct me if I'm wrong. You're not necessarily saying that you believe that we are the most technologically advanced, but we are the most technologically advanced.
We might as well
be. In within the vicinity that would matter to you.
Yes, actually, yeah. Yeah,
I'd like I see to what you're saying. Oh,
change,
that makes
my,
sense.
Change my that sense, makes sense to that.
Okay, got it. All right, Alex, what were you saying? I'm sorry to interrupt
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, just, yeah. No, yeah. I didn't even get interrupted. I just had this thought. And it kind of goes along with what I was saying before and kind of brings in something else that I think maybe I've talked about on the show before.
Okay.
Which is the like zealot mindset.
Go on. Zealotry, sure.
I thought about this when I was listening to a podcast by Klepper, Jordan Klepper.
Yeah, I know Klepper.
That guy, if you don't know who he is, listeners, he's that guy who goes out to like Trump rallies and like talks to people and kind of like, he's not directly making fun of them, but he's just asking them what they think and is like very incredulous about the answers that they give.
Yeah, he interviews right wingers.
Yeah. And I think that's like interesting from a like cathartic perspective as somebody like I'm looking across at the enemy or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, wow, they don't have their shit together. They're just a bunch of weirdos. Right. But that's not really what's happening. Like really what's happening is because on his podcast, it's more like he brings up a topic like in this case, I think it was QAnon or JFK Jr. coming back specifically or something. And he was talking to like experts on like human psychology and why people act the way they act. And the thing that's like really kind of makes me feel like what Jordan Klepper is doing is kind of in a little bit more bad faith than he lets on, which I don't necessarily mind. I think people should see what he's going out there and seeing, but like the people who are in those spaces, those sort of like ultra militant sort of like baby's first fascism type mindsets where they just think they're right and everybody else is wrong and they want to like subjugate the people around them to like belong to their thing. And they have these like little ideas about all these like crazy things that are going on behind the scenes that they're waiting for. It's not a belief.
No,
it's not like a genuine belief. Like I believe things about what's going on in the government, like that the president is the president and that like the government operates largely above board and transparently the way that we see it. And there's problems and we can see the problems and those are the problems. I do think that it's not crazy to assume that there are things happening in the government that are beyond our knowledge. I don't think that's crazy. But it's not like QAnon people are like hanging out, like talking about the Q stuff together and like having like a philosophical conversation, like according to these experts. According to them, more what's going on is exponential growth, exponential advancements and changing in the way that life is in just normal day-to-day life. Like suddenly there's like, if you're in certain part of the country, suddenly there's trans people and yeah, they've been there forever and like, you know, whatever. But now you're like, oh my God, like the thing that's like most ingrained in my brain, like the difference between a man and a woman and what makes gender, gender and roles and like the way my society is structured is threatened. You know, they're seeing something that they don't quite understand. And it's not that they feel this like revulsion against it. It's just that it's far away and they can point to it as something that's threatening their comfort.
Yeah.
And they like to just spin whatever tales. They don't really even say things. Like when you talk to somebody, like when Klepper goes around and talks to somebody and asks them why you're here, what do you think about Q? What do you think? They just kind of say random buzzwords that kind of clue you in if you're one of these same people that they're also in the same zone as you.
Yeah.
And it's not really a structured belief system. It's just kind of like a place you can go be when you see that the world is moving past you and you can't control it and you thought you had control.
That's what happens when you create and engender and maintain a group that revolves around lack of critical thinking.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not going to have a consistent belief system.
It's not that they revolve around the lack of critical thinking. It's just that they're really not there for that purpose. They're not pretend. They don't believe that they're there for. They might tell you that they're there because they believe something different and they believe specific things, but really it's much more like a safe space that they need to have. If you know what I mean. And
sure.
The
point I was making is that I think one of the primary, like one of the fundamental defining characteristics of their quote unquote safe space is the fact that when it comes to their tenets, critical thinking is not desired, is no, it's not desired nor required.
Yeah.
In fact, you probably shouldn't do it because then you'll start to see through the walls.
Well, it's not even that they're Luddites though. You know, it's not like that they're like anti-reason. It's just that that is their enemy in a way that they don't even realize.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they like, I'm not saying one of their enemies is critical thinking. That shit stink. No, of course. They're not even, they're oblivious to
their enemy. Just
they're oblivious. Yeah,
their enemy just ends up being intellectuals and scientists a lot of the time, because those are the people that are coming at them with the hard refutes, you know, the hard, like,
I don't even know. Wait, how did we get on this?
Well, I'm going to get to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's just the thing, that concept. We are all kind of on the same page about this idea that when you start to notice your life not being able to sustain the way your way of life, maybe doesn't have a place in the world anymore, the way that it did before. Like, maybe you're going to have to make some concessions to the march of progress and time in your life. You know, you go to this sort of mindset, right?
Yeah.
And I think some people go to that mindset, and that's where they're at when faced with that sort of inconceivable change.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like myself, when faced with the same change, you know, I feel the same thing. I'm 34. Like, I finally am about to age out of the demo. The like main demo for all things.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't, and I'm a little bit older minded. I'm, you know, my mental age is probably closer to somewhere in my 40s, just because of the culture that I consume and what I know. I feel like I have a lot in common with people a little bit older than me. I have a lot of the same knowledge people a little older than me.
Sure.
You know, and so maybe that's part of it. But
When
I am faced with these sort of world changing concepts and thoughts and things that I don't like, I take comfort in the fact that we're probably not the apex of technology and civilization in the galaxy, and that maybe this hard march towards something is leading us somewhere above all this. You know, maybe eventually I won't have to wake up in a world where I feel like the stupid, crazy people are like slowly taking over. You know what I mean? And the reason that I feel that way, the only time that I can ever feel like that is when I genuinely believe that there is a place beyond where we're at that we can head to. And so for me, going back to the idea of being the most or least technologically advanced, more so than that it will be something that convinces me with facts or something like that. Like what we're saying about, I was saying about ghosts or whatever, like that's not really like a fact-based thing. It's just more like, it's basically like a being or an alien from another dimension or whatever told me specifically that no, the dummies are right. You just got to fight for what you have because you're about to all just be swallowed by your own selves and your own nonsense. And that's what always happens. And I don't want to confront the idea, you know, with aliens telling me, oh, humans are the best that life can do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that because it's going to basically confirm for me that the apocalypse is going to be everybody just going insane rather than the world ending. And I don't want to internalize that. I'd rather believe that, you know, we're struggling with all these human rights things and we're struggling with, you know, ways to save the planet because eventually we're going to succeed and make it.
Yeah. I think I understand the things that you're putting down.
Yeah.
And I think I also understand why you feel the way you feel. And I would probably feel mostly the same way. I think that should be said though, that like, even if you had that, you know, obviously getting the knowledge that we are the most technologically advanced does seem to, it does make one, it would make one believe that this is the apex where we're at, right?
It doesn't necessarily mean that, but like, it just really does feel that way when you consider it in that way. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you could still just believe that it could get better. But I don't know, like, I think career day exists for a reason, you know, like you have to see proof that you can go do something like right now in my life, all the hopelessness that I feel comes from the fact that I feel like not only am I not doing well in my life, but that like what I do in my life is like gone. And I wasted my life on like intellectual pursuits because I should have just been like working a job and making money and saving money instead of like being a bohemian for 10 years. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like the case for reason is that eventually we'll get somewhere.
That's the hope, isn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. I don't know. I feel that's what I, that's the thing that I wanted to say was that, that little bit that I just said just now.
There it is.
Well, what do you want, Brett?
I would definitely hope that we were the lowest on this spectrum.
What is your reasoning?
Yeah, basically the same thing you guys have been saying. It would be more, far more encouraging to know that the average across the galaxy or whatever is something, I don't want to use the word better, but something more advanced than we are.
Yeah.
It would be encouraging.
Something aspirational.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So let's say this then. You're in your house.
Mm-hmm.
It's today. You're chilling out. You're having like a sandwich or whatever for dinner, just chilling out by the TV.
What kind of sandwich?
Something nice. Something good. Maybe like a, like a peppers and cheese and steak.
I don't want situation. That. Pick something else.
Okay. Cutlet, chicken cutlet. It's like an Asian chicken, like a.
Okay. Like a banh mi.
Yeah.
Can I have a banh mi?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You're eating a banh mi.
Can I have two?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
Two banh mi's ready to go.
Okay.
Popping off. The fucking bell rings or whatever. The fucking magic portal opens and you get this knowledge.
Oh, I hate it. Okay.
Guess what?
I just want my banh mi's.
Yeah. Guess what?
Uh-huh.
You're the top.
Okay.
What, immediately after that, does it like change anything about your like?
Am I the only one that knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. You find out and it's like, okay. And then they're like gone and you're just sitting there with your banh mi's again. Like, does it change your life? Does it out? Does it change your life going forward?
I think I have to invoke what Ted was talking about. Cause in that scenario, I feel like I'd be like, well, shit. Oh, well, you know, like, because like in practicality, it already feels like that kind of, because just the odds of us encountering any other race like that are so low that it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would be munching on my banh mi's within 20 minutes again.
It would, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it would take the wind out of my sails a lot more than
it would take the wind out of my sails, but not them, but not like
I would turn into Ebenezer Scrooge. Immediately. I'd be the worst man ever. Why not?
Because I'll tell you why not. Because even though we would be the highest, if you will, we are not necessarily at the ceiling.
Yeah. Like you're just talking about like that dead ass hope.
What else have you got, right?
Well, in one situation, the knowledge that people have succeeded where we are failing now and that maybe we can make it.
That is not necessary in order to keep progressing.
That
certainly helps.
That's true.
Certainly helps.
Yeah.
To know that like, oh shit, look at all that, those things that are possible. But
yeah,
sometimes you got to cook from scratch, baby.
Yeah. And I guess obviously it matters how I get the information. Like maybe it just occurs to me rather than like some kind of like acid trip alien comes. Because I think if that happened, like I would be like, how did he come here? Who was that?
There'd be a lot of questions.
Yeah. I'd be like, how did he do this with lower tech than me?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Where are you from?
Yeah.
I'm the last of my kind. And with this knowledge, know that you're number one. See ya.
Some people say like the most likely scenario, including what's his name? Blink-182 guy.
Dude, I got some Tom DeLonge stories.
Oh,
yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even he is like most likely the evidence that we have, it's tending towards them being extra dimensional beings or from outside of time.
Sure.
Like the TARDIS or
sure.
something rather than Star Wars.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Boo, 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 ba, boo, boo, ba, boo, boo, ba.
Like maybe the aliens that we're meeting are us. And in that case, yeah, but again, like, okay. But in that case, if it's a guy who comes through the thing and he's like, humans are the most advanced ones. Goodbye.
In your wavelength.
Yeah. Well, but he's like, humans are the most advanced ones. We're humans. You're going to get to us eventually. Right? Now it's the opposite message, because now they're saying aliens are real. We're the aliens. We've been the aliens the whole time.
Yeah, but like, gonna be, but at that point, like, the message is already kind of diffused, right? Because like, making it a traveler, making it a being telling you this is a bad thing. I'm realizing now it has to be
like a literary.
It has to be just like a boink.
I know now,
yeah. Right? Because otherwise, it's like, wait, well, you hold on, doesn't. Mm-mm.
That's kind of like being like, well, what if the implant doesn't work? Yeah, it's like, it's not really like
the doesn't work the best. Well,
interesting.
Yeah, I find it interesting to think about.
I did not think that I was going to say that when I said lowest quickly.
Something to, I don't want us to chew on it right now, but, if you want to do further independent study at home, and by study, I mean just, contemplation as you're sitting there with your two banh mi's on your porch.
Yeah.
So think about, like, if you'd rather live in a society during its ascendancy or descendancy. Kind of similar, right?
Yeah. Just straight up ascendancy.
Sure.
I feel like I've lived in both.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Like, so let's move on, shall we?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Are we out of the main segment of the show now?
Yes, please. No, that was my news.
That was, was it?
No. God, okay. No.
I mean, I don't know. This happened before. okay. Well, last time on the show, I broke out the new version of our fan Q&A, which is a segment that we do a lot on the show.
Was there music for that too?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That one's a little shorter.
Okay.
Yeah. Last time I opened the floodgates to YouTube, and this time I'm going to pull completely from YouTube again.
Oh, only YouTube.
Yes. But for a very good reason.
Okay.
Which is that next episode, episode 15, we're going to be having Gerard on.
Oh my God.
For our 15th anniversary.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow, 15 years of the Beard Bro show.
Finally. And there's going to be a lot of interaction for patrons on that episode. I'm going to give them a lot of opportunity to do things.
Are you doing that episode? Are you like handling that episode?
I mean, I'm going to handle it, but it's mostly going to be based on like,
damn,
what the patrons do.
I just like, the episodes where I'm in charge, like I love to bring stuff like, to get us thinking a little bit.
I got you.
I really like Gerard's on. I really just want to like, because he hates that.
Yeah.
I really want to break his brain. The show.
Here's your worst possible nightmare.
Yeah, I want that. Like, I love making him uncomfortable by having him like putting him in philosophical and moral dilemmas.
Yeah.
Damn. All right.
Well, I mean, it's up to them, to be honest. Like, they could do it. If you want to head over to patreon.com/superbeardbros very shortly, sign up for the podcast plus tier. That is the way that you're going to get to mess with Gerard.
I see.
Like I say, we're still going to have the Q&A, and going forward after today, we're going to start doing some of the Q&A from YouTube and some of the Q&A from the patrons. But I realized that, oh man, it's going to be a big one next time. So I better give YouTube some love today. So that's what I did.
Got it.
First one comes from Hide Me. The question that we asked.
Say that name again.
Hide Me. First one comes from Hide Me. The question was last time, what is your criteria for choosing game of the year?
Was that the question? Okay.
And what is your 2023, your guess for what your game of the year is going to be in 1 year's time from right now?
Okay.
Like at the end of this year, you're going to look back and you're going to say, this was my favorite game and this is why.
Okay.
I chose it as my game of the year. So Hide Me says, with regards to game of the year, my gut feeling is to say, the game that I will look back on most fondly, or that when I remember playing it, I have the most loving recollection of.
Okay.
It's pretty much the same thing. Mine is probably going to be Tears of the Kingdom.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Like, real talk, like, I feel like everybody's going to say it's going to be my favorite game of the year.
And they might be right, too.
I agree. I guess I'm coming at it from a different perspective. Like, I'm thinking about it from an editorial perspective a little bit, I guess. Like, I feel like, if I was like the editor in chief of a website, for example, like an IGN or a Kotaku or something like that, and we're making like the list of game of the year or whatever, and I'm talking with everybody, I would say, not only does the game of the year need to be like really good and something that resonated with us as a good game, but but it needs to like sort of like exemplify the values that we represent or something. And I think for me personally, that's why I chose last year Ghostwire Tokyo, because maybe it's not the best game of the year that I played. Like I played Elden Ring too, just like everybody. And I'm not going to say that game isn't like an evergreen masterpiece at this point. Like probably I'll play that game again in 10 years and probably not Ghostwire Tokyo. But the things that Ghostwire Tokyo does and the things that it are about are things that I like to see in games and that I think more people should do. And it just aligns with my values as a game enjoyer.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah. There's aspects of both that you like and sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. It takes a lot to be like, it takes a lot of mental hoops to be like, that is probably my favorite game, but this is going to be my pick because this one like is more like, I don't know, not necessarily good and not necessarily favorite, but the one that I think is like the one for this year. I don't know. It's hard for me to say that. Hard for me to articulate it better, but I think I'm coming across at least to somebody. Mm. Next one's for you. Oh man, I always give you the long one.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
All right, here you go.
Here comes Harrison Brown, who says, after years of attempting to answer this question, only to find reality feeling extremely out of touch with what I expected, I've decided to try and approach this question differently this year.
Okay.
I believe the reason this question is so difficult for me is that I look at it from too many angles at the same time. On one hand, I'm trying to accurately guess on the potential of a project that could involve thousands of employees, years of development, and millions of hours poured into a singularly executed product. Bearing all this in mind, it becomes impossible to not compare what I think about a game to what the game was supposed to be. Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm going to read that again. It becomes impossible to not compare what I think about a game to what the game was supposed to be. Okay. On the other hand, I still have to superimpose that prediction onto another guess at to where my mental state and general life situation will be when I experience it. Holy shit. In short, doing all of this at the same time and reducing it to one question with one answer is simply a fool's errand.
Did I just get roasted?
I don't know about that.
For asking the question?
It seems like Harrison Brown is like,
a complicated
in order to answer this, it would take all these variables.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. And I'm like, yeah, dude, me neither.
Yeah.
So to select my game of the year, says Harrison, I'm going to answer two questions that both attempt to look inward as opposed to simultaneously looking inward and out. Okay. You really did give me the long one, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
First, what do I want out of gaming this year? As always, the answer is enjoyment, but I generally find enjoyment out of seeking a new objective and attempting to achieve it. This year, that will be to get a new genre of gaming. Even if it doesn't draw me in, I believe I will find enjoyment in it if I can grasp the concepts that appeal to others and understand how to improve on the skills needed to excel at it. In 2023, that genre will be fighting games. Oh boy. I've never personally invested in them, nor had any friends do the same. Nevertheless, the idea of watching a one-on-one mental chess match take place through the stylistic backdrop of a beautiful fighting game is too appealing to pass on any longer.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, sounds like he's gonna. Like Harrison wants to like try a genre he's never tried before. Makes sense to me.
I get that. It also though kind of feels like if instead of playing Street Fighter VI that we were talking about like working at McDonald's, right? Like he says, even if it doesn't draw me in, I will find enjoyment if I can grasp the concepts that appeal to others and understand how to improve on the skills needed to excel at it. Yada yada yada. Like if he got a new job at McDonald's, it seems like he would also say that making burgers would be his favorite thing to do or his activity of the year, 2023, even though it's like not, I don't know. I feel like something's missing there, but maybe we can.
At the very least, it sounds like Harrison is like trying to try fighting games and try and find out like, oh, this is what people who like them find appealing about them.
100%. I vibe with that.
Harrison continues, knowing the answer to the first question, I now ask, what game do I think will most likely achieve this goal? I still don't think this is too much of an outward-facing question because I don't ultimately care if it's good or even well-executed. Those characteristics would certainly help, but if the game helps me achieve the goal set out in the first question, I think I'll be satisfied enough to call it my game of the year. Okay, to that extent, I'm going to pick Street Fighter VI. Everyone who has played this series and other fighting games extensively has spoken highly of it, and more importantly, gives off the impression that this one will use the mistakes of past entries to finally deliver a product that can streamline the player from the basics to the in-depth mechanics needed to improve without too much trouble. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for allowing fans to post answers to YouTube. It really means a lot to me. to be able to discuss the various topics and thought exercises that come up. Oh, wow. Let me know if this is too long and I'll be sure to chop it down. Yes, it's too long. Please chop it down. No, I'm just kidding. You're doing good. Yeah, sounds like Harrison wants to dip their toes into something new and is basing their game of the year off of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this is a fine way to choose your game of the year. I don't think that there is such thing as a response that's too long to express yourself.
Yeah, you're good to go, man.
Editorially, a lot of words here. I'm just kidding.
Can maybe cut some of that fat off, Harrison?
Trim it up.
Spice it up. Remember? Zhuzh it up.
Zhuzh it up. Baby shoes for sale. Never worn.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. you know, I'm just kidding. Street Fighter VI, game of the year. First one that I've heard besides you.
Yeah, I know look, it is going to be the game I enjoy the most next year.
I don't even think it's crazy to say that could be anyone's game of the year next year. Street Fighter always fucks.
Some people. Not many people, but some people.
That's true. Red Lanyard, I believe that's a DC Comics reference, almost.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Atrocitus writes.
Maybe.
My most anticipated game and the one I'm expecting to be my 2023 game of the year is definitely Spider-Man 2. The swinging mechanics of the first game were so much fun, and with Miles Morales improving the combat and building the world even more, I cannot wait to lose myself in that game.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
So for this person, they're looking forward to this game the most, so they're hyping themselves up to enjoy it.
Yep.
I think there's something interesting about that.
What do you mean?
Like,
because I'm going to be honest. This didn't seem interesting. Like, the answer seems accurate. Like, yup. But interesting? Please explain.
Well, I said, what's your criteria for game of the year? And what game is it going to be?
Yeah.
And in this case, it seems like their criteria is my most anticipated game is going to be my game of the year.
Oh, I don't even. In reading this, I didn't get the sense that they thought about it that much. I think they were just talking about like, yep, I think it's going to be this.
Yeah.
But maybe, I hope you're right.
I mean, regardless of what their actual intention was, the thought that it brings up in my mind is just like, how much of what your review of a game is like based on like some preconception of the game?
For most people, a lot.
Yeah. And even that previous like very long answer that we went through, that was like very detailed reasons,
right.
It basically boiled down to, I think that Street Fighter VI is going to be a good game for a fighting game for beginners. So I'm picking it as my game of the year.
But the only reason they're saying that is because they specifically are a beginner with fighting games and happen to this year want to become acquainted with.
Right.
Yeah.
But if Street Fighter VI perhaps is impenetrable to new players,
which it might be,
I don't think it will be, but let's just say it will. Right.
Yeah.
Now, is it not a good game anymore for you?
For them, maybe not. This is why I don't want to use the phrase good game.
It's just not the game of the year at that point, which is different.
Which is also,
it's different. It's different than saying it's necessarily the best game of the year. Okay. All right. Red Lanyard. Spider-Man 2. Honestly, when does Wolverine come out?
I don't know. Probably not for a while. No, I don't think so.
No? That is the one that I want to play. That's also by Insomniac, right?
I think so.
Or whoever did Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would love to play an open world Wolverine game set in that's basically just GTA or Yakuza, except it's set in Madripoor. Wolverine wakes up with no memories or something like that, and he has to like figure it out.
I feel you.
Okay, next one for you.
This comes from Joshua Hoovrud. Q&A. Assuming it comes out, Silk Song will be my game of the year. My criteria would be a gaming experience that provides me with game content that is built on a vision of explorative gameplay that is both intentional and non-wasteful. Non-wasteful.
That's your criteria every year?
I don't know.
I'm interested. You know, that's an interesting thing. That's a very specific criteria for game of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A thoughtfully constructed world where the mechanics, art style, and storytelling come together succinctly to achieve a particular vision. That seems vague. But it's all good. And in this case, that vision. Oh, here. Okay, great. And we're specifying.
Yeah.
And in this case, that vision is presumed to be similar to its predecessor, Hollow Knight, which was a Metroidvania that achieved exploration, rewarded by tough challenges that tightly follow clear mechanics and a world and narrative that is discovered through said exploration. A thoughtful and intentional use of both time and space where nothing feels wasted while playing. Okay, cool.
Does... Are there like a lot of different games that fit into this criteria? Do you think? Like this Elden Ring?
I don't quite understand the criteria, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not no roasties on like the thoughts coming through in this response. Like no, but it's interesting to me how many responses to this sound kind of just like a generic game review. Like a generic positive game review. Mm. Like a lot of YouTubers that I watch a lot of the time, like I'll watch review. I try not to watch reviews too much because they seem to be a lot of the time just like a rant about what somebody would have changed about a game or something like that, which I get annoyed by. Mm. But a lot of the time, the language and knowledge of game reviews is just very sort of like a thoughtfully constructed world with mechanics, art style, and storytelling come together succinctly to achieve a particular vision is like, I get what they're saying in this specific reply because they went into it more, but like, I don't know. Something about that just sounds very game review-y to me. Is that weird?
Mm.
I don't know.
I'm looking forward to that game too, Joshua. Thank you.
Me too. I hope it comes out this year. Mm. I hope it does. Just for Sean's sake, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aaron Walton, another one, says, Q&A. I'm really not sure what my GOTY will be this year since there's not at all that much that has me really hyped. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to tentatively say Armored Core 6 simply because it's From Software. I know it's not a Souls game and I've never played an Armored Core, so I may end up not liking it at all.
Okay.
But I'm extremely curious to see what From will do with a non-Souls style game after a decade of making nothing but that.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly the game I'm most excited about, even if I don't know whether it's for me or not.
Mm-hmm.
As for what makes a game GOTY for me, it's probably the game that I end up thinking about the most.
Mm.
That may not mean it's the game I've played the most if it's a shorter game, but there, if there's a game that I'm constantly thinking about, even when I'm not playing, that's probably my GOTY.
GOTY. Yeah, he made his criteria very clear. Cool.
I vibe with that. I'm a little worried about that though. Not necessarily like not worried, but just like if I was criticizing that as a criteria, I would say, if we were doing this for drugs instead of video games, cocaine would just win over weed, regardless of if the weed is good, because the cocaine is addictive. And so you're thinking about it more. You know what I mean? You think about cocaine a lot because you're addicted to the cocaine.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, like I've played 500 hours of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet in last year, right?
Uh-huh.
Like I played hundreds of hours of the game before the year was over. It came out in 2022. I probably spent more time thinking about and playing that game than any other game I've played this year. Mm. Definitely wouldn't pick it as game of the year because it has so much wrong with it. And it's so weird and so like weirdly designed. And it kind of feels like trash a little bit to me in a way. Some of it's good and great even, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's like it's definitely not my criteria. No roasties. Yeah. Again, like I'm not, I feel like people sometimes when I read their thing and they like, and we like criticize them in some way, they think we're trying to like bang them down. I want to say respect to everybody who writes in, and nothing that we say is going to change your statement. You know, like we're not objectively more correct than you or something, but the reason we're bringing you into these conversations is just because we want to have a little bit of a discussion with your ideas. And so sometimes if I'm skeptical or something, you know, trust that I'm doing it from a place of good faith and that I'm just trying to have a discussion. Just because as I was looking through this, there was a couple people who were like, I didn't know you were gonna read it. Oh fuck, I feel bodied. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So don't feel bad about that kind of stuff. We're not, there's no judgment here. I'm
judging everyone.
I'm probably going to play the fuck out of Armored Core 6. I've played every Armored Core. I love them all. And you know, they've all been made by FromSoft. So no reason why it wouldn't be great. At least maybe if it, you know, not for you or what. Yeah. But that maybe is more interesting to me than like what I'm thinking about is like a game that like tickles my pickle. I don't know.
Mm.
Anyway, here you go. One for you.
This is from Andre Bastos.
This might be the last one, too.
Says, I'm with Alex as far as Game of the Year 2023 is concerned. I'm a big fan of Final Fantasy to begin with, and I generally like to look at the games based on their own merits and style rather than comparing them with previous titles, because most worlds and stories on numbered series are unique and entirely different anyway.
Oh, he's talking about specifically Final Fantasy.
Sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Add to all of that a cast of certified quality content creators in the team of Final Fantasy 14, and the combat designer of my favorite action game of all time, Devil May Cry. And I'm pretty confident this next if game will be some top tier stuff. I love the setting and the focus of the spectacular summons that the game is promising. Although to be fair to Brett, the man who made me start playing fighting games online, Street Fighter 6 is looking amazing as well. Although I'm more inclined to spend more time on Tekken 8, I'll probably pick up Street Fighter 6 as well. Yeah, sounds like Andre likes him some Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's good stuff to look forward to.
Interesting. I also want to say last time I said that Final Fantasy 16 doesn't have a party. And somebody was like, did he not see where they announced that there are parties? And it's like, there's going to be technically a thing with the word party on it. But even in the news where he says there's going to be parties, he's like, it's not what you're thinking. So, you know, it's going to be a very different game. That's all I'm saying.
Lots of different answers. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a broad sort of sense of where people's heads are at least our listeners, with regards to like what makes a game of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Some different criteria floating around here for sure.
Yeah. I think after listening to everybody, I'm going to revise my game of the year thing to specifically be not only a game that I enjoyed, but a game that represents what I believe is good in video games. Like that resonates with some part of my brain. Like that makes me feel like the people who made it kind of like agree with me, like agree with my preferences.
Wow. Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, yeah, Elden Ring is not a game that I feel like was made exactly for me, but I think it's probably the best game that was made this year, that was put out this year. But Ghostwire Tokyo feels like somebody took my Twitter account and read the whole thing and read my blogs and then made a game based on like kind of what I think makes a good game. Does that make sense?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it for this week. Next week's question, what do you got?
Yeah, man, get your banh mi's because I want to know, would you rather live in a society during its ascendancy or during its descendancy?
Would you rather live in a society during its ascendancy or its descendancy?
Yeah, man, as the society is slowly built up or as it's slowly crumbling.
Yeah, I'm full on in ascendancy. The 90s were the greatest. Were we in an ascendancy as a society in the 90s?
That remains to be seen.
Maybe. I felt like it. I was a middle-class white person in America.
Exactly. You might be a little bit biased.
I'm not biased. It's just like that was my experience. It felt like an ascendancy at that time.
Yeah, and I think that might be due to where you were, like ethnically, culturally, like where you lived, the money you had.
Yeah.
Some people might disagree with you. I'm not saying I necessarily do, but like...
America maybe was already on its downturn.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Our opinion on whether we were in the upswing or the downswing is going to depend greatly on like your lot in life, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's another question is like when is the ascendancy, like when you're reaping the benefits of.
Are you saying you want me to define what the ascendancy of a civilization is versus descendancy?
Yeah.
Because that depends on the civilization.
Well, I agreed. But when we're asking the question, I guess my thing is like when we say, would we rather live in the ascendancy? Do we mean reaping the benefits of a society on its way up? Or are we talking about. Like if we say the ascendancy of America was like 1950, right? And we were like in an ascendancy to like the 80s, but like because I was a middle-class American white person in the 90s, I was still reaping the benefits of the last 40 years more than somebody perhaps in another social strata, like, you know, in the 90s, even though America's already in its decline at that time.
Maybe, like, yeah.
We're talking about the benefits or the... We're talking about the... I don't, you get what I'm asking.
Not quite, but that's okay.
Like why would I choose one or the other on what grounds?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
The benefits.
No, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. What would you rather live in a society during its ascendancy or descendancy and why?
Yeah. Have most people in the society noticed that it's on the ascendancy?
What, ours?
Would you
in general?
Yeah, in general.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I'm bringing it up not to get to an answer so much as to like sort of like get people thinking about this question a little deeper.
Okay.
Because I feel like, yeah, like in the 90s for me definitely felt like the ascendancy, but
some might make the claim that that was already on the descent.
I know.
Some might claim that we're still ascending and neither are wrong, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at like a graph of every bad thing, crime, death, whatever. I mean, obviously COVID kind of fucked things up a little bit with that, but even then, probably not. Like, probably everything's like trending upwards except for like pollution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know for sure about that, but I feel like every time I see a graph, it's like kind of encouraging, even though it just feels like shit right now. So I don't know. That's just something that I was that thinking about that question for a second brought up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I have no answer for this question. Like, I really don't know.
I think my answer is ascendancy.
Okay.
I'm gonna lock in ascendancy just because I don't know.
Locked in.
Yeah. And you're saying ascendancy too?
No, I'm saying I really don't know.
You say you don't really have an opinion one way or the other?
No, I don't have enough info.
Well, but man, it's your question. You gotta have all the questions. You gotta have all the info, right?
No, I can ask tons of questions without knowing the answers.
Right.
I really don't know. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what I'd prefer.
Fair.
You know?
Fair. What do you think, Ted?
Is this the same question?
Would you rather be living in a society that's in ascendancy on its way up or in descendancy on its way to ruin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this is a little bit different of a question.
Slightly different.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is for everybody. Yeah.
I mean, on its way up. Yeah.
Fair enough.
It, in a way, it seems like the obvious answer, but
yeah.
But I think the thing that I was
really obvious.
But I think the thing that I was bringing up a second ago is kind of the counterpoint to that.
Yeah, like if you're asking for a con of living in the ascendancy, it's like it depends. Like, how close are you to the apex?
Yeah.
Because if you're in the ascendancy, but like things could be pretty shitty still, you know. And if you're in the descendancy, but you're at the top of that wave, might not be that bad. You know what I mean?
Like, if you're American versus like Afghani, for example, you probably have a different feeling of when was the ascendancy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or if you're from Beverly Hills or
ancient Rome.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Something to think about.
Mesopotamia.
Yeah. Anyway,
the Byzantine Empire.
If you guys want to answer that question, you can simply write it in the comments of this video on YouTube.
Write it.
Or you can go on patreon.com/superbeardbros, join the podcast plus tier, write your answer there. I will definitely see it.
Write it.
If you do it on the Patreon. And then also Gerard's coming next time. And if you want to get involved in the fun of having Gerard on the show and what all the fun interactive stuff that we're going to have for that, join. Have fun.
Please.
Be a part of it. It would be great.
All the people that gave us questions for this episode, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And all
you.
The people that listened, we appreciate you too. Don't know how you did it. What the fuck's wrong with you? But we appreciate it.
Yeah. I like doing this show. Thank you for supporting us and helping us keep it going. I'm Alex.
I was Brett.
I was Ted.
And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
A song here too
at the end.
Yeah I'll be damned.
And then I wait at the end, and after the song ends, there's like a little joke, like a little, like a piece that we edited out, or a lot of the times it's Ted like taking the intro once or twice.
It's probably gonna be about my phone call, isn't it?
I think it's gonna be this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we're out.